All right, we are continuing from where we stopped last Sunday. Our topic again, who remembers? Rest in his faithfulness, practicing his word. Rest in his faithfulness, practicing his word. We read Psalm 37, verse 3. Let's go there again. Psalm 37, verse 3. Let's take it together. Ready, go. Trust, rely on, and have confidence in the Lord, and do good. Dwell in the land and feed securely on his faithfulness. We are being encouraged to trust, to have confidence in him. In other words, believe that God is who he said he is, and believe that he will do what he said he would do. Confidence means you're certain that my daddy would take care of my business. In other words, believe in him. Believe whatever he has told you in his word. And continue to do whatever the word says to do. Be what the word said for you to be. We are called human beings. We are called to be what God has already destined for our lives to be. And dwell in the land and feed securely on his faithfulness. Be firm. Dwell in the land. You must have to, first of all, understand the land where you're dwelling. Make sure you're really dwelling in that land. Be apprehensive of where you are dwelling. That you are a child of the kingdom. You belong to God. You are a child of God. Remember what we said? You are no longer strangers nor foreigners, but your fellow citizens with the saints and your members of God's household. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. You must have to know that you know that you know that you are a child of God. Remember we said in Romans 8, verse 9b, if you don't have the Spirit of Christ in you, you don't belong to him. Coming to church will never make you a child of God. If you like, sleep as long as you want in the church. Fast, carry the fastest Bible. In fact, don't even make up. Those things will never make you a child of God. God is busy looking for his DNA. His DNA is the Spirit of Christ. If you don't have the Spirit of Christ in you, you don't belong to him. And the only way to have the Spirit of Christ is that you must have to you must have had the good news about the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And having heard that, you believe. It is not enough for you to believe. You must choose to put your trust in him. In other words, choose him as your Lord and your Savior. Because when we go out there and we are sharing the good news, some people will say, yes, I know Jesus is the Son of God. Yeah, I believe he died for my sins. Okay, do you now want to make him the Lord over your... Oh, no, I'm not ready yet. So you see, you must have to hear the good news. The Bible, like our brother was sharing with us this morning, you know, Romans chapter 10, verse 14, how can they believe without a preacher? So you must have heard something. Because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Praise the Lord. So you must have to know where you belong and dwell securely there, knowing for certain that your daddy loves you and that he would take care of you. That's why he says, trust, rely, and have confidence in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed securely on his faithfulness, because God is very faithful. He has enough integrity to maintain his word, to make his word good. He will make it good. Whatever he said in his word, we were singing it this morning, he will do what he said he would do. But you have to be fully persuaded that God is who he said he is, and he will do what he said he would do. And that comes as you keep hearing and hearing and hearing, and then you're persuaded, and then you said, if I perish, I perish. If the word ever said that, that settles it for me. Amen? So, when you understand where you're dwelling, it is important that you keep your inner man flowing with righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Spirit. It is important, very, very important, especially in, like the world in which we live today. A lot of things will rattle you, will make you think that God doesn't have your back covered, or maybe God doesn't love you again, or maybe this, the whole thing is against me. It is your job to keep your inner man flowing with righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost. Let's look at John chapter 14, 27. What did the Bible say then? It said, peace. Let's read it together. Peace I leave with you. My own peace I now give and bequeath to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Stop allowing yourselves to be agitated and disturbed, and do not permit yourselves to be fearful and intimidated and cowardly and unsettled. Amen. That was Jesus' words to say, I leave with you my peace. He said, my own peace. My own peace. The peace, when they were in the storm, he was busy sleeping. He was never rattled by anything at all. That's the kind of peace that he gave to you and I. He said, not as the world gives. He said, I bequeath and give to you. I give and bequeath to you. Bequeath, that's out of my own will, I choose to give it to you. It's not based on your performance. I choose to give you my own peace. My own peace. And he says, do not let your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Say, stop allowing yourself to be agitated. Agitated, that is, you're worked up, you're bothered, you're troubled, you're angry. Don't allow yourself. Whose responsibility is that based on what the word says? Whose responsibility? It is your responsibility, it's my responsibility. I can't do it for you, you can't do it for me. He already gave us his peace. He says, stop allowing yourselves to be agitated and disturbed. Does that mean that things will come to make you to be agitated? Is that what he's saying? Yes, things would certainly be happening because we are in the world. But remember, we are not of the world. We are citizens of heaven. So we get our instructions from heaven. So do not, when you have information about where you live, a child of the kingdom, and what operates in the kingdom, then do not allow the things that you see to rattle you. Have confidence in your big daddy that he has your back covered. Amen? So it's our job. And he told us in Isaiah 26, 3, he said that he will keep you in perfect peace. But first of all, what must you do? Your mind must have to be stayed on who? On him. Your mind must have to be stayed on what he said. Do not allow yourself to be agitated. Don't. Tell your neighbor, don't. Amen. So you see, he said the lower part, he said, and do not permit yourself to be what? To be fearful and intimidated and cowardly and unsettled. Because the enemy will try to use situations, issues, challenges to make you to be intimidated or to be afraid. But you don't have to allow yourself when you know in whom you have believed and you know what he has promised you. If you look at 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, the Bible says there that God did not give us a spirit of timidity or cowardice or fear. What did he give us? But he has given us what? A spirit of power and of love and sound judgment and personal discipline, abilities that result in a calm, well-balanced mind and self-control, especially when the chips are done, when situations are happening the other way. You are settled. Your mind is at rest because you know your big daddy is taking good care of you. Amen? Fear shows you attribute more power to the enemy than to God. When you allow fear, when you're frightened, you're anxious, you're worried, it simply means that you think, wow, the devil is so great. He's really, he can get at me. My God is a one shingongo God. No, that's why he said, don't be afraid. 365 times in the Bible said, do not be afraid. Don't be afraid in any form. Do not, because you have a great daddy. The creator of heaven and earth is your father, and he takes good care of his own. So, if we look at Philippians chapter 1, verse 28, let's look at that together. Philippians 1:28. Ready, go. And do not, let's read, ready, go. And do not for a moment be frightened or intimidated in anything by your opponents and adversaries, for such constancy and fearlessness will be a clear sign, proof and seal to them of their impending destruction, but a sure token and evidence of your deliverance and salvation, and that from who? From your big daddy. Do not for a moment be frightened or intimidated in anything by your opponent. Whatever are the challenges, don't let them intimidate you. You have a big and awesome daddy who loves you. Remember, you are the apple of his eyes, you are the darling of his heart, and he takes care of you. If we parents see how we take care of our children, guiding and anything they want we could and we can afford, we help them with that. Our father is a better parent than we are. So do not for how many moments? For how many moments? For one moment. Do not. Tell your neighbor, please do not. Don't. Do not for one moment be frightened or intimidated in anything, whatever it is. He said that such, you know, fearlessness is a proof to your enemy, is a proof to your challenge that is messed up, that victory is yours. If you remember Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, the Bible said then, be anxious for what? For nothing. What does nothing mean? Nothing means nothing. Do people have challenges? Yes. But it says you should be what? Be anxious for nothing. Don't bother about those things. He said, but in everything, what are you supposed to do? By prayers, supplications, with thanksgiving, what are you supposed to do? Let your request be made known to your Father. And then his peace that passeth all human understanding will garrison your heart. But do not be anxious about anything. Anxiety or worry makes you forget things. It makes you have, butterfly, in your stomach. I remember sometime when I was much younger, when I'm doing exam, there's this fear and anxiety. And when it came on me, when I get to the exam hall, I don't remember anything again. Things I would have known. But because I was so blinded by fear, I will completely forget everything. See, when you're fearful, you will not hear what the Spirit of God is telling you. Remember, God is in you if you're a child of God. The Spirit of Christ is in you. And Romans chapter 8, verse 14 said, but as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. He gave us his Spirit. He's our helper. He's our standby. He's our counselor. He's there 24/7, whether you know it or not. But when you're fearful, you will not be able to hear what he's communicating to you. And you will just simply mess up. And that's why he said, don't allow fear. Fear will cause you sleepless nights. It has happened to me. It can even make you to lose your appetite. So that is why it is important that you don't allow any fear. You don't allow it. And it is our responsibility not to allow it. Amen? We sing a song. I love that song so much. In fact, I bought the CD when it was in vogue. Say, righteousness, peace. Let's sing it. Joy in the Holy Ghost. Righteous peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the kingdom of God. Righteousness, peace. Joy in the Holy Ghost. Righteousness, peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the kingdom. Don't you want to be a part of the kingdom? Don't you want to be a part of the kingdom? Don't you want to be a part of the kingdom? Come on, everybody. And they say, there is peace in the kingdom. So much peace. Come on, everybody. So in the kingdom, what happens there? There is righteousness, there is peace, and there is joy in the Holy Ghost. That's what is there. Is there any fear there? There's no fear there. That's why God didn't give you fear, because he doesn't have one. So if fear comes, it's from outside. So you kick it out. How do you kick it out? We are going to get there by the word of God. Praise the Lord. That's why the Bible said in Romans chapter 14, 17, 18, it said, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. That you're eating and drinking, you have so much on your table, does not mean that you have peace. Doesn't mean that you have the gift of righteousness. It's a gift for those who belong to the kingdom. But what you have in the kingdom is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And that's why verse 18 said, for he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approved by men. So that you have a lot of goodies does not mean, and you're driving all the best cars doesn't mean that you are a member of the kingdom. Praise the Lord. Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 16, Jeremiah said there, when I discovered your words, I devoured them. They are my joy and my heart's delight, for I bear your name, O Lord God of heavens. So you see, Jesus is our joy, and the joy of the Lord is our strength. As you're feeding on his word, there's this kind of joy that bubbles on the inside of you, because he is our joy. He's our joy. Amen? And the word of God also is God, and the word of God is Jesus. Revelation chapter 19, verse 13 said, and his name is called the word of God. He said, he was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the word of God. So as you're feeding on the word of God, you're feeding on him, you're feeding on Jesus. And there's no way this joy will not be bubbling. And whatever matter is being settled, because you keep on being persuaded that he's good and he's going to take care of you, and you find out that he really takes care of you. He said that he that watches over you, he neither sleeps nor slumbers. And that's why he said in Psalm 127, verse 1, 2, he said, except the Lord builds, what do? You labor in vain. And except the Lord watches over a city, whoever is watching, keeping late night, you're just simply doing it in vain. Your job is just to simply trust, rest in his faithfulness. Anything that will affect your sleep, will affect your peace, will affect your health. And he knows this. He wants you to enjoy good health that he gave you. So if you allow your peace to be agitated, to be taken or snuffed out by circumstances, when your big daddy is busy there watching over you, you're going to be hurting yourself. And he doesn't want you to hurt yourself. I was there many years back. I worried over my children. I worried over my marriage. I worried over my finances. I worried over everything. To the point that when I think about those times now, I say, why was I even bothering? Look at me here today. All those things that I worried about, they were useless. And to the point that even when we were coming over here, I wasn't able to follow my husband to go down to the east to say bye to our people. Because if I stand up, I will get blackout and I will just drop. My blood pressure was so high because of worry. Worry about, in fact, there was a time they started calling me a worrying champion. I would say, no, I'm not worried. It's just that. Oh, no, I'm not worried. It's just that. But I was really worrying. It was when I began to get a better understanding of the word of God, I began to learn to let go and to let God, knowing that he's ever faithful to his own. Praise the Lord. And more so, the Yorubans will say, what you're looking for in Sokoto is in your Shokoto. This Shokoto is, I think it's a big stuff that they usually wear. You know, say, the thing is there in your Shokoto. The kingdom of God is within you. That's what the Bible said. If you look at Luke chapter 17, when the Pharisees were asking Jesus when the kingdom of God will come, Luke 17, 20, 21, 25, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God does not come with observation. That you are facing challenges today does not mean that you don't have the kingdom of God within you if you're a child of God. That you're dressed gorgeously still does not mean that you have the kingdom of God within you if you are not a child of the kingdom, if you've not made Jesus the Lord over your life. It's simply that you're ignorant. If you are miserable when you have the kingdom in you, all you need to do is to know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Then verse 21 says, nor will they say, see here or see there, for indeed the kingdom of God is within you. Remember, at the time, Jesus has not yet been glorified, but he was telling them the kingdom of God is within you, because he knows that when he's glorified, anyone that would believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, the kingdom of God will resonate in the person. Amen? Wherever the king is, his kingdom is set up. When I get to my job, I say, Father, I give you praise because I'm a child of God, because Jesus is my Lord. He's in me. And because he's in me, I'm his representative here. So his kingdom is set up here. So from here, we operate. And I'm the light of the world. He's the light of the world. And because the light of the world is in me, this light radiates from here and touches everywhere that needs light. Praise the Lord. I do that every day and it works. Praise the Lord. Because I'm a child of the kingdom and the light of God is radiating through me. The kingdom of anywhere I am, the kingdom of God sets up there. And the same thing goes for you, the child of God. Praise the Lord. When the Bible says, but seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. What he's saying to them is, when you get into the kingdom, remember last Sunday we said that we've been transferred, Colossians chapter 1 verse 13, from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of the Son of his love. He says, seek that. Verse 25, before I go on, he says, but first he must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation. Then he will be glorified after his burial. He says, when I have been glorified, the moment you seek me and I come to live in you, that's where the kingdom is. He said, that's why he said to them, the kingdom of God is within you. Yet they were Pharisees, they haven't even believed in him. Praise the Lord. So the moment you know that you're a child of God, anywhere you go, the kingdom of God settles there. He said, the moment you seek first the kingdom and you get into the kingdom, I mean, if you are visiting my house, you can only ask for a glass of water, and if you're hungry, you can ask for food. But if you're living in my house, whatever I cook there, you're going to be part of it. Water, you get it from there. Bed, you get it from there to sleep. Whatever you need, you get it from the house. Is that not so? So you see, the primary thing is for you to get into the kingdom, because the moment you get into the kingdom, every other thing in the kingdom automatically becomes yours. You become a heir of the kingdom. You become a child of God. You benefit from everything that is in the kingdom. So the primary thing is that you must make sure that you're a child of the kingdom, because there is so much peace, there is so much joy, there is righteousness, the right standing with God when you come into the kingdom. Amen? Remember, all that belongs to God, the Father, is all deposited in who? Colossians chapter 2, verse 9. He said, for in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Who is the him then? Jesus Christ. In Christ Jesus dwells all the fullness of Godhead bodily. Everything that made God God is all in Christ Jesus. And then verse 10 says, and you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. Because Colossians 1:27 says, Christ lives in you. This gives you assurance of sharing his glory. He lives where? In you. Remember we said Romans 8 verse 9b, if you have not believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you don't have the Spirit of Christ, you don't belong to him. Christ lives in you the day you say yes to him. And that gives you the confidence, the boldness, the assurance that you're going to share whatever belongs to him. And everything that belongs to the Father is in him, and he's in you. As we read in Ephesians chapter 1 from verse 3 last Sunday, everything he has is in you. And God loves you as much as he loves him. Why? Because you've been accepted in the beloved. And who is the beloved? Jesus Christ. If you are in Christ, and he's his only beloved son in whom he's well pleased, automatically the love for Jesus is for you. That's why God loves you. When you make Jesus the Lord over your life. So your primary, pursuit is to have a revelation of how things operate in the kingdom where you are, to have a revelation of who you are as a child of God, and to have a revelation and understanding of what belongs to you simply because you are a child of God, and how to assess those things. Remember, he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12, that he has given us his Spirit that we might be able to, to enjoy the things that he has already freely given unto us. And he said in 2 Peter chapter 1, that all that pertains to life and godliness has already been given to us. All packaged, sealed, and delivered in Christ Jesus. But as you keep fellowshipping with the Word of God, you keep on discovering them, you keep on understanding how to assess all those benefits. Praise the Lord. So, you live your life being conscious of these gifts of righteousness, the gifts of right standing with the Father. And as you do that, always be conscious of the fact that His peace and His joy is your portion, because that's what He gave to you. As you're living in the consciousness of that, not in the consciousness of your problem, because your problem will look you face to face and you can naturally identify with that because your five senses will show you that. But choose to go with your sixth sense, which is the spirit that God gave to you, the Holy Spirit that is, you know, educating your spirit. Choose to go by your spirit, because He said, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Follow what the Spirit is telling you. The Word of God is that Spirit, and whatever your Spirit is telling you is going to match up with the Word of God. John 6:63. So whatever the Spirit of God is telling you, which is confirmed by the Word, go by that. So as you allow the peace, the joy, living in the consciousness of the fact that you are accepted in the beloved, you are in right standing with the Father, you find out that He will take care of whatever is the matter, whatever is the circumstance that is surrounding you, whatever is the issue, He will take care of that, because that's His responsibility. We are not called to fight any battle. Our battle has always ever remained the Lord's, like we read in the case of Jehoshaphat. Our job is to stand still, position yourself where you are, dwell in the land securely, don't step out from the home. Righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Spirit, that will remain your portion. Be conscious of who you are, where you dwell, and the fact that you are in right standing with the Father and that His peace is your portion. And then you keep that your inner man flowing with that righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Spirit. Don't be conscious of sin. Don't be conscious of your failures and your mistakes. When they happen, say, Father, I thank You because You're making me see this, because this is another area where You and I will work together through Your Word. And you trust Him as you keep on fellowshipping with the Word of God. And as you keep fellowshipping with the Word of God, He will keep on changing you from one level of glory to another level of glory to another level of glory. Don't live conscious of sickness. Oh, hey, maybe let me go and check this. Oh, let me go and check this. What is the power that is in you doing? The Bible said the power that resurrected Jesus Christ from the dead is at work in you, quickening your mortal bodies and supplying life to every dead area. Let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. Say what God said about it. Remember what we read last Sunday in Psalm 103, where He said that He beautifies us, He dignifies us, He satisfies us with our necessary desires at our personal age and situation. We're good. He heals us. He forgives us. These things are for real. When you are saying these things and you're singing these things, believe the Word of God. Don't say and sing them just for saying and singing sake. But know that this is the infallible Word of God, and God takes good care of His Word. Amen. So no matter the issue, remember that there's a beautiful table that a Father has set before you, because He loves you and because you are accepted in the beloved. Let's look at that in Psalm 23:1-6. Psalm 23. We'll read together. Ready? Go. The Lord is my shepherd, to feed, guide, and shield me. I shall not do what? Lack. So when you are confessing lack, oh, I don't have money. Oh, I wish I would get this one. It's because you don't know where you belong. Because you don't know who your daddy is. Because you don't know who your senior brother is. You may know, but you don't have a revelation of who they are, of who you are as their children. Remember once, when we came to this country and we just managed with a little money and we go to ShopRite, we'll be looking at the beautiful things there. Ah, my husband will say, Nkem love, mark my word. One day, I'm going to step into this shop and I can buy whatever I want to buy. He never stopped making that confession each time we get into ShopRite. And today, he will go there and buy whatever he needs. The Lord is my shepherd. He's a faithful shepherd. It's a matter of time. What you don't have today, you will have it tomorrow. Because he's a good shepherd. Praise the Lord. He said to feed. To feed you. He said the Lord is your shepherd to do what? To feed you. To feed you with whatever you need. The Lord is my shepherd. He will guide me. There's nothing like confusion for a child of God. Remember, Christ is your wisdom. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. He's our wisdom. He's our wisdom. The Bible says wisdom comes from the mouth of God. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 6. As you're feeding on the word of God, you're feeding on information. And that information is power. That information will guide you, direct you, and help you on the right path. Praise the Lord. He said, he leads me beside the still and restful waters. His word steals you. His word floods you with wisdom. I don't forget, my son Onyeka, when we gave him this thing, I gave him this thing to do for our Sunday school prep on the topic we were dealing with. And he read and read. He ran down and said, Mommy, this is so juicy. This is so juicy. So he was reading the word of God. He was getting revelation. Yesterday again, he ran down and said, Oh, Mommy, let me share with you the revelation God was just giving to me. When you begin to feed on his word, he begins to, oh, that's why he's saying, he makes me lie down in fresh, tender, green pastures. Every day there's a fresh revelation. As you keep feeding on the word of God, what you don't know today, you know it tomorrow. Oh my goodness. Oh, wow. So this is what the Bible says. Oh my goodness. I didn't even, praise the Lord. He keeps feeding you as you keep. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18. From one level of glory to another level of glory, to another level of glory, to another level of glory. And this will continue until you're called home. So that's why, these things, and come and see the joy bubbling in his heart because he got a revelation of what the word said. Those things have been there before. This is what happens as you feed. He feeds you as you allow him to feed you. Verse 3 says, he refreshes and restores my life. He by his word, he refreshes you. Maybe you're down and then you've read some scriptures. So you kind of feel pepped up. You feel encouraged. It's again praying in the Holy Spirit is another one way that he refreshes and restores us. The Bible said that in Isaiah chapter 28, verse 12, he said, to whom he said, this is the rest with which you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they will not hear. Some people, when you talk, tell them, pray in the Spirit, their Lord. Some of them, they just... Or pray, if you have not yet been filled with the Holy Spirit, get baptized with the Holy Spirit. They don't understand, hey, maybe this is of the devil. The Bible said that this is the rest with which our Father may cause the weary to rest. There are times you pray, 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 you don't even know what to pray again about. You don't even know where to start. You're stressed out. What do? Get refreshed. Start. Robaka shekere mahari bo, kuroboko te rekoto si mahari. As you're praying in the Spirit, the Lord, first of all, there's so much revelation. Remember Paul? He said he prayed in the Spirit more than the Corinthian church. And that man had, wrote kind of almost, the greater part of the New Testament. You get so much revelation, so much understanding of the Word of God. You get the wisdom of God as you're fellowshipping with the Word of God. And again, it relaxes you. It refreshes you. You find out that if you begin to pray in your understanding, maybe you don't even know what you're praying about. The Bible says so. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, it said, but ever be filled and stimulated with the Holy Spirit. By praying in the Spirit, be ever filled and stimulated with the Holy Spirit. And 1 Corinthians chapter 14 tells us in verse 2, for he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to whom? Does not speak to men, but to whom? To God. So as you're praying in the Spirit, you're speaking to your Father. You don't know what you're talking about. Time will not permit me to start sharing my own experiences with how I was delivered by just praying in the Spirit. And he said, for no one understands him. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. Because you're speaking to God and God understands the mysteries. Verse 4 says, for he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. You are edifying yourself. You are building up yourself. And then verse 14 says, for if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is what? Is unfruitful. I don't understand what I'm praying about, but I just pray in spirit. And my Father understands what I'm saying because I'm speaking to him directly. So verse 15 now concluded by saying, what is the conclusion then? I will pray with the spirit and I will pray also with the understanding. I will sing with the spirit and I will also sing with the understanding. And look at Romans chapter 8, 26 to 28. It says, so too the Holy Spirit comes to our aid and bears up in our weaknesses, for we do not know what prayer to offer, nor how to offer it worthily as we ought. You know, sometimes you're praying about a situation, it has happened to me, but that may not really be the problem. Something you think is the issue might not really be the issue. But as you begin to pray in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit comes to bear up with you and begins to intercede. That's what the Bible says. It says, but the Spirit himself goes to meet our supplication and pleads in our behalf with unspeakable yearnings and groanings too deep for utterance. 27. And he who searches the hearts of men, who is it that searches the hearts of men? It's God. Jeremiah chapter 17 verse 10 says, I, the Lord, I search the heart. He said, and he who searches the hearts of men knows what is in the mind of the Holy Spirit, what his intent is, because the Spirit intercedes and pleads before God in behalf of the saints according to and in harmony with God's will. So you are better off praying in the Holy Spirit because you are praying according to the will of God, because the Spirit intercedes on your behalf according to the will of God. And we know what the Bible said in 1 John chapter 5, 14, 15, that whatever we ask according to his will, he hears us. So you are certain that that prayer is certainly according to the will of God because you are praying in the Spirit, though your understanding is unfruitful. And the Bible said in verse 28, we are assured and know that God, being a partner in their labor, because it is the Holy Spirit that is helping you, all things work together and are fitting into a plan for good and for those who love God and are called according to his design and purpose. Praise the Lord. And that's why in the book of Jude 1:20-21, it said, but you, beloved, build yourselves up, founded on your most holy faith, make progress, rise like an edifice, higher and higher, praying in the Holy Spirit, guard and keep yourselves in the love of God, expect and patiently wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, which will bring you unto life eternal. So you rise up like an edifice, you're praying in the Spirit, you're keeping yourself in the love of God, because the enemy can confuse you to make you think that God will not answer your prayer because of this, because of that. But you keep yourself in the love of God, that God still loves me, even though this thing is happening, he will take care of my business. And you pray in the Spirit, you pray in the Spirit. So you're refreshing yourself. Praise the Lord. Let's go back to that Psalm 23. That's where we were just talking about verse 3 that says, he refreshes and restores my life. And we say, praying in the Spirit, he uses his word. And as we are praying in the Spirit, we are being restored. And the Bible says there, he leads me in the paths of righteousness. He gets me to know, understand that he's dealing with me is just based on the fact that I have said yes to his son, that I'm in right standing with him. And that's why he said there, not for my earning it, but for his name's sake. Not for my earning it, but for his name's sake. Verse 4. He said, yes, though I walk through the deep, sunless valley of the shadow of death, which means those issues or challenges will make you look like you're walking in a deep, sunless valley. There's no hope for me or this, you know. But he said, though I walk through that, he said, I will fear or dread no evil. Why? Because you are with me. He told us, he said in Isaiah chapter 49, verse is it 15 or so? He said, 14, can a woman forget her nursing child? He said, yes, it's true, because some people will deliver to them and drop in the garbage. He said, but I will not forget you. He said, I've graven you at the palms of my hands. And, you know, there are three indelible marks here. And there's no amount of soap that will ever wash it off. And the father says, I've graven you at the palms of my hands. He said, and your walls are continually standing before me. Which means any direction I turn, I'm seeing you. I turn here, I'm seeing you. I turn here, I'm seeing you. Praise the Lord. So, he said, because you are with me. Simply because he's with you. That's the reason you will not be afraid. Remember 1 John 4:4 said, the greater one, you are of God and you have overcome them. Why? Because the greater one lives in you. These things are not for decoration. They are for real. But you have to believe them. You have to be fully persuaded that these things are true. He said, what is it that overcomes the world? 1 John chapter 5, 4 and 5. The victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Whatsoever is born of God overcomes whatever challenge, whatever issue. Remember, the Lord is with you. Therefore, don't be afraid. If you are born of God, you have overcome that issue. You are not going to, but you have overcome them already simply because you are born of God. But when you don't know this, you are afraid. And, you know, they say that fear will even kill people before the main issue even gets there. Because that anxiety and worry, remember I said that fear can cause you, it can affect your health. Make you have sleepless nights. Praise the Lord. So, he said, I will fear or dread no evil. He said, your rod. What is his rod? The word of God. He comforts. He guides you. He directs you. He gives you an illumination. He said, your word, David said in Psalm 119 verse 105, your word have, you know, is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Remember what we said about Jeremiah? He said that I devoured your word and it's the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. In Jeremiah chapter 15 verse 16. And then verse 5 says, let's read it together. You prepare a table before me. Where? In the presence. Oh, yeah? Some people say, oh my goodness, if only these things will stop, I will be so happy the day these things stop. I will be happy the day I can be on my feet. The Bible said he prepares a table before you. Why didn't he wait until your enemies are clear before he will now prepare the table? Why did he set the table in the, which means they're not a big deal. They are a piece of cake to him. It's not an issue because the greater one, the greater one lives in you, and he will take care of the business. But your job is to just simply trust. He said, you anoint my head with oil, my brimming cup runs over. Verse 6, let's read verse 6 together. Surely, or only goodness, mercy, and unfailing love shall follow me. How many days? All the days. Which means Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, all the days of my life until I'm satisfied with life and I'm ready to go. Because he said he will satisfy me with life. With long life, he will satisfy me. So it's my choice. The day I'm okay, I say, Daddy, I want to come home. Unless Jesus is coming to take every one of us home. Praise the Lord. That's what he promised us in Psalm 91, verse 16. Praise the Lord. So he says, surely, only goodness and mercy and unfailing love shall follow me all the days of my life. When we read these things, let's know that this is the infallible word of God. John 10:35 says, the scripture cannot be broken. Isaiah 55, from verse, if you start reading from verse 11 or so, he said that his word will not return unto him void. Just as rain comes, the snow, and they don't go back. The word of God will not, forever, the word of God is settled in heaven. And we sing, if God says it, and I believe it, help me. That settles it. Does it really settle for you? Does it really, really settle for you? When you sing it, make sure you mean what you're singing. And make sure you mean what you're saying. So he said, and through the length of my days, the house of the Lord and his presence shall be my dwelling place. That's your choice. You have to choose to dwell where you are planted. Don't remove yourself from, remember where we read, dwell in the land securely. Praise the Lord. So, the table that is set before us, do you think our daddy will set a table and put sickness there? Do you think he will set a table and remove all the edibles that will bless us? So whatever is not in the table, you know where it's coming from. It's from the enemy. What do? You run it out. You run it out. That's why you must know your authority as a child of God, the authority of the believers. You stand your ground. There is no pain on that table. There is no arthritis on that table. There is no lack on that table. There is no barrenness on that table. When they pronounce me barren, I thank God for the word of God. The word of God that changed the equation for me was where the Bible said that he gave us dominion. Be fruitful and multiply. I said, oh, my father said to be fruitful and multiply. That's even a command. I said, no, I'm not barren. And the Bible said, none shall be barren in the family of God. I said, no, I'm not taking barrenness. I began to call myself fruitful. When the enemy will minister something, I say, no, casting down imaginations on every heart. I say, no, devil, you missed the mark. I'm a child of the kingdom. In the kingdom where I belong is fruitfulness. So I am not barren. It's a matter of time. You just watch it. You're going to see this stomach shoot out. And finally, it happened. Praise the Lord. God is faithful to his promises. His word is truly yea and amen. He said they shall surely gather, but he is not the one sending them. He said, whoever gathers together against you will do what? Surely fall for your sake. Isaiah 54. 15, I think 15 or so. He said, verse 17, this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. Is your heritage, is your inheritance, good life, long life, prosperity, is your portion. It is yours. He gives us the power to get wealth. That power to get wealth is embedded in his word. Wisdom comes from his word. We said it earlier on in Proverbs chapter 2, verse 6. He said in Proverbs 4, 7, he said, wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom in all your getting, get understanding. And wisdom comes from the mouth of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. You have to give yourself time to fellowship with the word of God and meditate on the word of God. Paul said, I commend you to God, Acts 20, 32. I commend you to God and to the word of his grace that is able to build you up and to give your inheritance. Your inheritance. Your inheritance among those who are sanctified. It is by the word of God. And Joshua said, this book of the law, it shall not depart from you. Meditate therein day and night, that you might be careful to do according to all that is written therein. For then you will make, not me, you will make your ways prosperous, and then you will have good success. Success defined. Because if an armed robber operates and they succeed, you say, oh man, we made it. But that's not a good success. Our daddy's success is a good type. Praise the Lord. So we must choose to enter into his rest and trust him and know that he's ever faithful to his promises. You must maintain this joyful, confident expectation of good, knowing in whom you have believed, that he's ever faithful to his own and he takes care of his own, because you are a child of the kingdom. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. The Bible says there, see what an incredible quality of love the Father has shown to us, that we will be permitted to be named and called and counted the children of God. And so we are. For this reason, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Does the world know you because you talk their language, you do things the way they do? Let them get confused about you because you choose to go with your sixth sense, which is going by the leading of the Holy Spirit. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the children of God. That's what the Bible said to us. Praise the Lord. Let's be like David and trust him. Psalm 62, 5 to 6, and then 25. Psalm 62. He says there, my soul waits silently for God alone. Let's read it. My soul waits silently for God alone, for my expectation is from him. Verse 6. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not do what? nothing moves me. If I perish, I perish. Because he is my defense. He's my salvation. Whatever form of salvation, he is my salvation. Verse 7. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. 8. Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Remember he said, be anxious for nothing. If you're anxious and you pray, it's a double-mindedness, and a double-minded person cannot receive anything from the Lord. That's why he said, be anxious for nothing. It's a command. Be anxious for nothing. When you're anxious, it means that you don't trust God. You say, no, I don't think my daddy can handle this. So let me just make my own kind of plans. So you're worried. You want to figure it out. Be anxious for nothing. He said, trust in him at all times, you people. Help me turn to your neighbor and preach to your neighbor. Trust in him at all times. And then at the end of it, he says, Selah. What does it mean? Pause and think. That's the truth about the matter. Because he loves you. Because you're his child. And the Bible said in Psalm 5:12, for you, O Lord, will bless the righteous. Who are the righteous? Those that have chosen Jesus as their Lord and their Savior. Your righteous is not based on your performance. You're righteous simply because you are in right standing with the Father, because you have made Jesus your Lord. And Romans chapter 5 verse 17 say that if you have received this abundance of grace and the gifts of righteousness, you will reign in life. You're called to reign in life. Remember, originally, Genesis chapter 1:28, God said we are to be in dominion. And that was restored back to us when we gave our life to Jesus. So you must take charge of your life. Occupy till he comes. Take charge of your life. Trusting in him, submitting to him, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. He will exalt you. We said we are fighting from the place of victory. Why is it from the place of victory? Because you're already a child of the kingdom. Where the king is, where the greater one lives in you. So you are to push back. If there's any symptom, is a false evidence appearing real, you say no, you don't accept it. You don't accept it. Don't begin to confess it. Rather confess what the word said about you. I'm the healed of the Lord. Later week, we sing it in song. That God, you know, he healed me. He's forgotten that song we used to sing. He healed me and all that, all that. His faithfulness is forever. Remember we said last Sunday that there is no expiration for his faithfulness. We read Lamentation chapter 3, 22, 23. He says, the faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. His mercies never cease. So which means, and we said, visualize every morning fresh dose of his mercies and his love before you. Every day I wake up, I can see fresh dose of his mercies and his love waiting for me. And as I'm stepping out, I'm stepping into it and I'm enjoying it. You have to really meditate on this. Believe that it is so. Believe that it's literally there for you. His mercies and his love. And he said, great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning. Is afresh each morning. He said, I say to myself, the Lord is my inheritance. Of course, it's our inheritance. Therefore, I will hope in him. And the hope we are talking about here is according to that Romans 5:5, that this hope, it does not disappoint. Why? Because of the love that the Father has for us in Christ Jesus. And the Bible said in Romans chapter 10, 11, and 13, that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's call on the name of the Lord in faith, believe that he is who he said he is, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. It's a matter of time. It will look like you're being shamed, but things will definitely turn around. It's a matter of time. Praise the Lord. And he said in verse 25, the Lord is good to those who do what? Who depend on him, to those who search for him. You have to completely surrender. Completely depend upon him. We are called for a life of total dependence upon him. And that's why he told us in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways, In all your ways, not some of your ways, in all your ways, acknowledge him, put him first, and he will direct your path. He's ever faithful. Praise the Lord. And he says, so it is good to wait quietly for salvation from the Lord. It is good to do what? To wait quietly for the salvation. Because, you know, the devil will push you. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? He says, shut up. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. You see, look, oh, this thing is a devil. Are you deaf? Didn't you hear what the Bible said? The Lord is my shepherd. He's a good daddy. He takes care of his own. He's not an infidel. He will take care of my business. You wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord, and it shall surely come. 27 says, and it is good for people to submit at an early age to the yoke of his discipline. It's a wonderful thing. I remember some years back, my husband would say, why didn't we know the Lord earlier? Oh my goodness, I wish I knew him earlier. He said, well, we thank God at least we now know him. At least we've started. But for those of you that are still younger, it's a wonderful opportunity that you have, that you're in a living church. We were in a dead church. So we knew the Lord as adults. But you are still younger. You have the privilege of hearing all these things. Please embrace him. It is a wonderful thing to really submit to him at an early age. So you will avoid all the heartaches that a lot of adults went into, all the mistakes. You will avoid it. As you're coming to church and you're hearing, and I thank God for the different ministries that we have, the Bible says, let the elder ones teach the younger ones. And then like the marriage, the couples meeting. That was where my marriage began to amend. Because we began to hear from the others, say, oh yeah, so you know, we have a normal life. It's just that we need to adjust in line with the word of God. And our marriage began to amend. So you gain a lot of wisdom as you hear from some of these more matured ones because of their own pitfalls. They have learned from their pitfalls so they can save you the trouble of you getting into such pitfalls. Amen? And then they say that life is not a bed of roses. But with the wisdom of God, you can turn your life into a bed of roses. They say marriage is difficult, but with the wisdom of God, like me and my husband, we are having the honeymoon every day today. But it wasn't like that before. Because of the word of God. Praise the Lord. The word of God works. The word of God will so transform you and catapult you up there if you will just simply let him. Praise the Lord. So he said, let them sit alone, verse 28, let them sit alone in silence beneath the Lord's demands. He said, who can command things to happen without the Lord's permission? His word is final. His word is yea and amen. Whatever he says, it will surely come to pass. If he has ever said it in his word, it shall surely come to pass. But you wait silently. Don't be moved by whatever is happening. No, wait for him. He is faithful to his promises. He will never disappoint you. Your job is just submit to him. Remember we said last week that humility is not dressing up and then doing like this. No, humility is submitting to whatever the word says. That is, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. And he promised us, he said in verse 7, casting the whole of your cares, all your anxieties, all your worries, once and for all upon him. That's 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, for he cares for you affectionately and he cares about you watchfully. Yes. Casting the whole of your cares. He didn't say some of your cares. He said all of it. All of it. If you're still worried about any of them, it means you're still carrying them. And if you're carrying them, God will just stay like this and wait for you. Because two of you will not struggle over it. Because he will not share his glory with anyone. It's either you let him, let go and let God, or you handle it yourself. And you don't. Your peanut brain cannot handle issues of life. Life is too complicated, but with the wisdom of God, you have the winning one, and you will always win. Praise the Lord. And we said in verse 10, when you submit to him, just follow his way. It says, after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who imparts his blessing and favor, who called you to his own eternal glory in Christ, will himself complete, confirm, strengthen, and establish you, making you what you ought to be. He has assured us that he will never leave us. Say, I will not, I will not, I will not in any degree leave you nor, you know, forsake you. He said, assuredly not. In Hebrews chapter 13, from verse 5, he says, so I may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Praise God no matter the issue. No matter what the situation is, just keep on thanking him. He is faithful. And God loves it when, no matter the situation you're going through, you are thanking him. That's an expression of faith, because you know that God will surely take care of me. And that's why he said in 2 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, he said, thank God in everything, no matter what. Because you know that he is faithful and he will take care of you. And no good thing will he withhold from those who are his. Shall we all rise? Jesus remains the answer.